Welcome to the Cowboy Chronicles, the Oklahomans, Oklahoma State Football Podcast. I am your host, Scott Wright, joined by my beat partner, Jacob Unruh. And this podcast, as always, is brought to you by Zaxby's. Satisfy your craving for hand-breaded chicken and fresh-made salads. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order online at zaxbys.com/podcast. Jacob, it feels like it's been a long time since we've been on the mic for a podcast. I don't know that it has. It just feels that way.
Does time stand still when football ends?
It kind of does.
It just feels that. Like, we've just been kind of...
Yeah.
It's just been slow.
Yeah, it's award season, and award season goes slow.
Yeah, maybe that's it. It's like we had to wait a week to find the bowl game, find out the bowl game.
Yeah.
Now we have to wait... Had to wait a couple more days to find out the Heisman stuff, and then, you know, the award ceremonies this week and all that, and it's just like, okay, let's get back to some games.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's just a slow time. You know, Oklahoma State hasn't even been practicing that much.
Yeah.
We haven't had a chance to talk to anybody, and there's been no public or no media availability.
I haven't been to Stillwater since Sunday. That's rare.
That's really rare.
This is Wednesday morning.
Yeah, exactly.
And I haven't been to Stillwater in a couple days.
Right.
What's happening?
It's crazy. Wanted to, obviously, this time of year with no games going on, we got to kind of get a little bit creative in what we do here on the old podcast. So we'll try to find some of these fun type of things to do. But this one today, three players, I guess I should say six players, three players each, who need to take most advantage of the extra bowl practices, or need to make sure that they benefit from the bowl practices. You know, this is it's a played out storyline that gets talked about all the time. But the extra 15 practices that come with making a bowl are incredibly valuable, because it's like an extra spring, basically. You get 15 practices in spring. So these practices really do have a lot of value. Making a bowl for this reason alone probably has more value than the game itself. But Oklahoma State's in a situation where they got some needs, got some guys that need to be ready to go, need to start taking that next step, whether it's for the bowl game, for next year, whatever it might be. So like I said, we'll focus on six guys. Now I'm writing a story for Thursday's paper. So if you're listening to this on Thursday, go check it out. If you listen on Wednesday, look on social media. It'll be out some point later today. But where I focus on five guys, not the burgers. Five players.
Man.
I know I'm starving right now.
Oh, I am too. Five guys sounds really good.
It sounds fantastic. Not as good as Zaxby's, but still really good.
Yeah, that's true. We can't talk too much about anything.
Yeah, so I'm going to write about five different players, but there'll be a couple of extras that we don't discuss here on the podcast that will be in the story, so that the readers get a little bit of a bonus too. But we'll get into some other guys today that aren't in the story as well. So, I reversed that. There'll be some guys in the story that we won't talk about today, and some guys we talk about today that won't be in the story. It's I got too distracted thinking about burgers. So let's get it started. We'll do one guy each segment. So first segment, I'll give you first draw, Jacob, player that needs to take full advantage of the extra bowl practices.
I think I'm going to start at the safety position with Jason Taylor II.
Good place to start.
A kid I know well. I covered him at Carl Albert extensively. He's had some moments this year. He's gotten in the game, late game situations,
right.
Special teams. Obviously, he plays a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know the status of Colby Harvell Peel. He got hurt at the end of Bedlam.
Yep.
There's been no update publicly about him.
Right.
Trey Sterling obviously is going to miss the first half because of his ejection due to the targeting penalty. And so there's some spots. There's some chances here possibly for someone like Jason to take full advantage of this and make his presence felt a little bit more. Tanner McAllister, I think, would obviously, he's been a guy that's been in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's going to get one, you know, some time. If Colby's out too, though, I think you've got a chance for Jason. You got a chance for Kanaian Williams. But I think Jason really kind of needs to seize this opportunity and show that he's capable of coming in and doing some damage and doing what they expected him to do, and they got him from Carl Albert.
Right, exactly. And this is a time where You know, with the extra practice, even with Sterling, knowing that he's out for the first half, but he's still a veteran guy. He's had some minor injury issues, nothing major, but he's been dinged up from time to time. So you imagine that he's probably getting some extra rest during bowl prep. So a guy like Jason could step in there and take that next step and prove that he's ready to be a serious contributor back there, because you know they've had that starting three at the safety position that they've really relied on so much, and if they they saw something extra out of a guy like Jason Taylor, you know, he could mix his way onto the field a little bit more and into the rotation. I think that would be really valuable for him. For my spot, I'm going to go with the guy that you mentioned. We'll keep it at the safety position, Tanner McAllister. I think if I had to guess, I would say that he's in the starting lineup for the bowl game because of Trey.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you said, we don't know what the status of Colby Harvell-Peel is at this point. Did have that injury at the end of the bowl game, or the Bedlam game, where he was limping off. So we'll see what his status is. But I think that Tanner McAllister, he's been the sixth DB really all year, and really even last year. Last year he came in as a true freshman, and they were playing him as a backup corner, sort of as that Thomas Harper type of spot we saw this year. And then they started to feel like safety was a place that he was going to really excel, and they moved him there mid-season, and he started being that sixth DB, the dime back, I guess is what you would call it. But so I think that he is a guy who, you know, not only for his situation in the bowl game, but looking forward to next year, is another guy just like Jason, who needs to really excel in what he's doing to get on the field and be more involved. And at the same time, you wonder if he's a guy that, like I said, he started his career as a corner. You wonder if he's a guy that's going to get another look there, mm-hmm. Because they are going to be really young at corner next year with the departure of AJ Green. If Rodarius Williams ends up leaving early, which we've discussed as potential on this podcast, they're ridiculously young at corner, and maybe McAllister is a guy who can fit in there. So that's something that could be of value to him in preparing himself for what could be a much bigger role a year from now. But that safety position, they're, you know, it feels weird to say it, but they're so young back there because it's guys that have played a ton.
Yes.
But they are still so young.
I was just thinking with all this too, it's key for both Tanner and Jason when they look at it, because how long is Colby going to stay? How long is Jared Bernard going to stay? They're both sophomores.
Yeah.
They can leave after next season. So it's a point you got to start getting them a little bit more experience and getting them ready to go, because Colby's kind of played himself to the spot. You got to start wondering if he will stay all 4 years.
Exactly. He's got the body to go be a big time player, I think, at the next level, or a player at the next level at least. So that's definitely going to be interesting to see what the secondary looks like in the bowl game and beyond, after we find out what's going on with everybody there. All right, tell you what, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and dive into our next selections on the players that need to take advantage of these bowl practices. This is the Cowboy Chronicles, presented by Zaxby's. We are back on the Cowboy Chronicles, presented by Zaxby's. I want to get back into our players that need to take most advantage of bowl practices. Also want to remind you that we will, in our next episode, have the weekly mailbag. So jump in with those questions, because we want to hear what your questions about the bowl game, about Texas A&M, about Oklahoma State's current situation. We know lots of you want to know whether Chuba is staying or going. We don't know still.
No idea.
We'll know as soon as we know on that one. Spencer Sanders remains up in the air at this point. Gundy's comments about him were interesting in the fact that he's, you know, getting a follow-up appointment with his doctor on the 16th or 17th of December, and could potentially be cleared 100% at that point. and that would be an interesting situation for Gundy. And let's talk about that just really quick now that I've brought it up. Even if he's healthy, do you play him? Do you take that chance? It feels really risky to me.
If you have Chuba, if Chuba plays,
right,
maybe you play Spencer.
Yeah.
I think if Chuba's not playing, you're without Chuba, you're without Tylan, I don't want to say what's the point, but maybe that is what it is. Spencer, what does he gain from it?
Yeah, exactly.
Every bit of experience obviously is crucial for Spencer at this point too, but get him fully healthy for the spring, get him fully healthy for next season.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that should be the goal, because Drew Brown, it's his last go-ride. It doesn't necessarily, you don't have to worry about his health as much.
Right.
So
exactly.
I don't know. I think it really still hinges on Chuba to me.
Yeah, that's absolutely a fair point. All right, well, let's get back to our players who need to take advantage of bowl practices, and I'll let you once again have the first selection in round two here.
Well, I guess since we're just talking about Chuba, maybe we should look at some running backs.
That's a good point.
I think Dez Jackson.
That's a strong one right
there. He's got to have good practices right now. I think LD slides in the starting role, LD Brown, if Chuba doesn't play. That opens the door for Dez Jackson, DeAndre Glass, to kind of get some carries. Maybe Micah Cooper could even get back out there after his early start as a walk-on. I think we haven't heard anything about him in a long time, but I don't think he did anything wrong. I think it's just Chuba was so good that there's no reason to play a bunch of running backs. But I think Dez Jackson's a guy they really like, and they really look at it. He's redshirted now at this point. Mm-hmm. He's got two more years of him. If Chuba doesn't play particularly, you've got to find someone for the future. Even if he does play, I think you've got to give more running back carries to someone else, because you've got to start looking to the future, because he could be playing. I hadn't said anything about the NFL at this point.
Yeah.
And we don't know if he's going to stay or not. And so you've got to start looking to see what you have. And Dez Jackson, I think, is a key guy to that coming out of junior college and someone they really like.
Yeah. And even let's just assume for the moment that Chuba comes back next year. You've got Chuba, who is sort of a Swiss Army knife type of guy. He can do a little bit of everything. LD can run hard, but he's still a smaller guy. He's impressed me with his power at times this year. He can really fly when he gets in open field. But Dez Jackson, at as big as he is, can really be more of a power back and bring that aspect, I think, in a way that that they haven't had since J.D. King left. So that could be a really interesting dynamic if they have all three of those guys. Now I'm gonna go ahead with my selection. I'll go ahead and stay at the running back spot, and I'm gonna throw out DeAndre Glass. This isn't necessarily for the bowl game. This is more for the next step of his career. And this is a guy that wasn't even dressing out the last few games of the season. Looked like he was playing a lot of scout team probably, and came in needing some time, and these are the moments that he's really got to take advantage of. Obviously, the early parts of bowl practice are all about, everybody's back on, there's no scout team, everybody's back in their regular position running the regular offense, and this is a really crucial time for him, I think, to show what he has gained this season and give the staff a little bit more confidence in him going into spring, because he is a guy that, if Chuba's gone, becomes a guy that you're hoping is able to help you out at some point and give you some carries. So he was obviously highly recruited. It was a really big deal when Oklahoma State landed him, and I don't want to call the kid a bust at this point, because he's just redshirted. But still, a running back, a four-star running back, you expect to come in and be able to contribute a little bit more early on. So obviously there's guys ahead of him and work to be done, but I think he can really benefit a lot from these opportunities to be back over there on the regular offense and show what he is capable of doing. That's running back, and we've talked about it in our when we discussed recruiting last week. This is such a volatile position right now, not knowing what's going to happen with Chuba, and not really knowing anything about anybody besides LD Brown. You know, they've been so good for the last few years here that it's starting to get a little bit scary what they're going to have there. And with a running quarterback, it's really important to have a running back that at least scares people a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's going to be important next year when Spencer is running the zone read. You can't have people just teeing off on your quarterback in that situation, or he's going to end up on the sidelines again. So this is a really crucial spot for them. You know, still not a running back in the recruiting class, waiting on Daniel Ngata, who will sign on signing day but won't announce his signing until December 21st. In the the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah. That's what it is. I was going blank.
Something.
Isaiah Jacobs is another one they're waiting on at Owosso. Right.
Exactly. So. Yeah. Still waiting on him. They're in the top five for him, and that would be a solid pickup as well. But if something doesn't start coming together, you know, they're going to be scrambling at that position. So. Whoever it is, there are guys that need to take advantage. And like you said, both Jackson and Glass have secured their redshirt seasons this year. Both of them played in one game, so important for them to maybe try to get involved. You know, show enough that they can get involved. Probably Jackson more so than Glass, because I think Jackson, you know, there's potential that he's the number two guy at the bowl game. So that'll be important, and see what he can do with it. All right, we'll take one more break, come back, and have each of our third selections for a player that needs to take full advantage of bowl practices. Coming right back on the Cowboy Chronicles, presented by Zaxby's. We are back on the Cowboy Chronicles, presented by Zaxby's, running down our six players total, three players each, who we think need to take the most advantage of the extra practices that bowl season affords. We've talked about safeties, we've talked about running backs to this point. Kind of a wild card here at the end, because I think that we hit the two most important positions in terms of where they stand right now. So. Could be a little bit all over the place on this one. You got somebody locked and loaded.
Ready long snapper. I'm just kidding.
hey, old Brady Wilson. He cuts the mullet now. He's got to stand up and be ready.
That's right. I think I'm gonna go with C.J. Moore.
Good choice
at receiver.
Good choice.
The Union product. He's listed 6'5", 175. He's that big receiver they want on the outside,
right.
Jordan McCray obviously has seized that and controlled that spot all year. CJ had a really good start to the year, mm-hmm. and then literally just disappeared.
Yeah, he did.
Like, they were all excited about him, and then he didn't play right. anymore.
No,
and we don't really have an explanation exactly as to why.
Right,
but I think maybe that kind of shows maybe he wasn't as developed as they wanted him to be.
And
maybe this is a chance, these extra practices, to get out there, because Jordan McCray obviously graduates.
Yeah.
Is gone. And so that spot's open again.
Mm-hmm.
And you think CJ Moore, it's his to lose, but he's almost on the verge of losing it in a way if he's right. not getting on the field at all.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
So I think he needs to go out there and show that he's taking the necessary steps that they can go and rely on him at that position.
Yeah. You look at what Braden Johnson has done to get more involved, looking long term, obviously. They've got to decide what they want to do with Dylan Stoner, whether they want him yep. to return to that inside spot. They want him to play the role that he's been in since Tylan got hurt. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen with Tylan, whether he's going to return from the ACL and stay at Oklahoma State or go to the NFL. So there's a lot of decisions, a lot of movement that could happen at the receiver spot, but CJ Moore could really become an impact player. He and Pat McCaughman as those big guys, out there on the edge that can do some of those things that that Jordan McRae did at times this year and become a red zone target on occasion or a deep play threat. So that's a really important spot for them to develop. When you take Tylan out of the picture, you start sort of running out of guys pretty quickly that you know that they feel comfortable relying on. You've got Dylan, you got Landon Wolf, and then Braden Johnson, like you said, emerged. McRae was in there some, but that's really about it.
Here's a chance for, I think, CJ to come and become the guy if he wanted to be.
Yeah.
You know, if he can develop that way, because he's a monster.
Yeah.
I mean, he could become the target. I mean, he could become the guy, but he just hasn't seized that chance.
No. Like you said, great start.
Yeah.
Two touchdowns in his first three receptions of the season. So
he's outrunning people, everything.
Right. Exactly.
It's just.
Yeah. Looking really good. Baffling. So, yeah. It was surprising to see the way that the season went for him. He had a stretch where he didn't even play for quite a while there. Didn't even see the field. So we'll see what exactly happens with him in that scenario. But definitely someone who could take a step forward and emerge and become part of the regular rotation of guys that are getting on the field. You know, LC Greenwood is another one that I think that was stepping up down the stretch and could be in the mix there. My last choice, I'm going to go a little bit off, sort of outside the box on this one, and go over to the defensive side of the ball, and I'm going to say AJ Green.
Okay.
It's a different thought process than what we've been talking about with guys that need to improve for Oklahoma State. This is AJ Green's. He's going to have a bowl game. He's going to have the Senior Bowl, and maybe he gets invited to the combine. You don't know, but he's going to be a guy that I think has a chance to play at the next level. And I'm not saying this happened to him, but I had this thought when I was sort of running down the depth chart and thinking about guys that we needed to talk about on this show today. This kind of thing will even happen to us and lots of different professions where you get going and you've been doing something for a while and you sort of just get in a routine and you just kind of going through the motions at some point and get a little bit comfortable, kind of in a groove. And every now and then you got to sort of take a step back and say, okay, let's shake things up and let's make sure that I'm still doing all the little things right and not glazing over some of the things the little details that made me good at what I do in the first place. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a good time for AJ Green in that respect. And I'm not saying that he did that at all.
Yeah,
I
think he's played really well.
An incredibly committed player. But to take some time and sharpen up some of those things, because, Mike Gundy mentioned in his teleconference about the bowl game that, veterans are getting individual work. And then they're going, when they go to their team periods, they're going with a lot of the younger guys. So, this is the time to work on your footwork, work on your hands, work on your hips and those sorts of things for AJ Green, because those are the things that are going to be scrutinized every time he's on the field from here on out until draft day.
Yeah.
When he's in those individual drills at the combine, if he gets to go, or at pro day, if he doesn't, and probably at pro day, whether he does go to the combine or not, those are going to be the things that scouts are looking at and grading him on and taking the opportunity, trying to decide whether they're going to give this guy a chance at the next level. So I think he has, there is money to be made in this next few weeks for him in what he can do and sort of dialing himself back in. Like you said, he's had a really good season. He was on my ballot for first team AP All Big 12. We'll see that list comes out on Friday. We'll see how everybody else voted and where he lands on that. You know, he's a guy that you know, didn't have a ton of stats because a lot of people didn't throw at him.
Yeah.
But you go look at you go look at what PFF, Pro Football Focus, had to say about him, and he graded out really well in terms of what he did on the field. So it'd be interesting to see, you know, what type of postseason recognition comes his way. He was second team on the coaches' ballot. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with the AP ballot as well. But a guy that I think has, I think he can play, I think he's got the talent to play at the next level, and he's going to get his opportunities. And this is just an opportunity for him to sharpen things up, I think, at this point. So that, there, like I said, there's some other guys that I'm going to write about in Thursday's paper that I think are some interesting guys that have definitely something on the table for them as you look at what's ahead for them. And, we'll see, you know, what can be done. I mentioned the Pro Football Focus stuff. They did they put out an All Big 12 team. And went deep at each position.
I missed that, I guess.
So yeah,
this is new to me.
It came out actually before the Big 12 title game, so it was interesting. But obviously, theirs is all based on analytics.
Yeah,
and I only bring this up to point out that Tom Hutton was third team punter on their list.
Third team punter, huh? Yeah,
he's ninth in the league in yards per punt, maybe eighth. But his analytics show that he is of value in some different ways.
Is he going to be on your list in the paper?
No, he is not.
He's not? Okay.
He's not. Now he needs to take advantage of any opportunity that he's got to improve on his season. He is not going to be in the paper. Like I said, though, there will be a couple other guys that I'll throw out there and discuss. I
figure he might be the lead item for you in the paper.
Not yet.
Hutton.
Yeah, no, I'm confident in his ability to go out and improve himself after his first season of American football. So. All right. Anything else we need to touch on here?
I think we can wait for the award stuff on Chupa.
Yeah, we're gonna have all of that stuff to get into later this week. Again, we'll have the mailbag segment. So go ahead and fire us those questions on Twitter at Scott Wright OK or at Jacob Unruh. So give us your questions. We'll dive into the mailbag. We had a great mailbag segment last week.
Yes, it was really good.
You guys need to stick to it, and the bar has been set really high now. So come back strong for us in the mailbag. We appreciate all of those questions and appreciate all of you out there who are listening to the Cowboy Chronicles, which, as always, is sponsored by Zaxby's. Satisfy your craving for hand-breaded chicken and fresh-made salads. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order online at zaxby's.com/podcast.